Lucinda.
How was last weekend?
Oh my gosh, the entire city had an amazing energy.
We were on one.
Weren't we? I mean, Philly had a huge party.
Yeah.
It was absolutely great. The whole, I mean, from Sunday through Friday, it carried through the entire weekend.
Yeah.
The, I mean, talk about camaraderie. You throw an Eagles Super Bowl bash and it ripples through the entire community. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. And talk about an intersection of sports and art.
Oh, yes, we are connecting this to art.
Oh, we
did not think we wouldn't.
We definitely are. We definitely are. Just think about it. You come down Broad Street, right? Mm-hmm. Surrounded by the Avenue of the Arts, mm-hmm. right? You have theater after theater. People are filling the streets, filling mm-hmm. the theater steps. And where does it all culminate in the end?
The PMA.
The PMA, the iconic building for Philadelphia, in the background as everyone says their congratulatory speeches. It was incredible.
Have you have you seen that photo? I think it was taken by drone of the just that entire area and how it rivals the photos taken from the 2009 inauguration.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's what it reminds
yes.
me of.
You can put it against when the Pope came. You can put it, I mean, when Philly's going to show up for the Pope, Philly's going to show up for the president, and Philly's definitely going to show up even better.
For the president?
Well, you know, it depends which one. But also, Philly's definitely going to show up for their sports team. It was great. And you know what? In the background is always going to be the cultural element, and that's going to be the arts. What'd you end up doing?
I did end up getting a little bit of rest. I
nice. Feel like
last week was just exhausting. We're just running on adrenaline, and at the end of it, had to take a nap. But other than that, I took my big kiddo with me to see La Familia at the Museum for Art and Wood.
Nice.
That was really great because, you know, my big kiddo is 4 years old and he has propensity just to touch everything. We have to have discussions that we keep our hands to ourselves.
Yeah.
We look with our eyes, not with our hands.
Yeah.
However, I will say that they have this tray when you walk into the exhibit space that says petting zoo, and it's just a bunch of like wooden blocks.
Nice.
Stuff that they can hold to keep their hands occupied while they walk through the space. And I think that is just so
very inclusive.
Very inclusive.
Yeah.
To our littlest.
Yes.
You know, art enthusiasts. Unfortunately, for all those who didn't see it, La Familia closed out on the 16th. So sorry, so sad. You guys gotta act. Okay, yes. Another thing that we saw over the weekend that also closed out on the 16th was the Cumulative Thread Show at the Da Vinci Art Alliance. It was great. Actually, you know what I did not know about the Da Vinci Art Alliance is that the second floor is a commercial space, so you can actually purchase the art that is shown on the second floor.
Oh, incredible.
I don't know about the first.
Okay.
I don't know about the group show, but that is something that I never knew before. What else did we do last weekend?
We had a night out. It was absolutely incredible.
With the four-year-old, mind you.
Yes. Oh, yes. We brought him in tow. Yeah. In tow. And you know, my favorite form of art is performance art.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. So we found ourselves at Ballet X in their winter series.
Mm-hmm. There were three productions that night.
Talk us through each one.
All right. So the first one was Steep Drop, comma, Euphoric.
Beautiful piece.
Yes. And I get a little nervous whenever there is a set piece on stage.
Oh, gosh. My nightmare.
And this goes back to 2018 when Robert and I, remember we actually saw the rehearsal of this for the...
Yes.
Back then it was the Pennsylvania Ballet.
Yes.
And it was at the...
Back then Marion Theater, now Miller.
now Miller, and there was a huge set piece.
On wheels.
On wheels. Yep. And it went flawlessly during the dress rehearsal.
Yes. Beautiful.
Cut to performance the performance. Night. One of the wheels got caught on something on stage, yeah, and the dancers were unable to move it in the way that we saw, yeah, during rehearsal. So nowadays, whenever I see a set piece, it just triggers a little bit of anxiety for me.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But anyway, for this performance, it was actually like a rubber banner hung from the ceiling, rolled, yes, up, and as the initial dancer opened the routine, she also opened the banner out towards the stage.
Yes, like a red carpet.
Exactly.
Yeah, which, you know, has deeper meaning to, mm-hmm, it as the piece moved on and as the dance piece
progressed. I would also like to say that there were not any malfunctions with the set piece.
No, flawless.
Next up, the second production was Figments of Song, and this was a world premiere from an alum of Ballet X.
I love when they do that. I love when they give opportunities back to the dancers, or give dancers opportunities to do more of their craft, right? Not every dancer is just a dancer. Some dancers have other artistic abilities, and this dancer has a choreography.
A gift. Also a gift for comedy, as we found from the opening film.
Yes, yes. And again, as we spoke before, you know, Ballet X gives a kind of film production prior to the movement so that you get an understanding of the piece and the story behind it, as well as what went into putting it all together.
Mm-hmm. Something that stuck with me is that I believe her name is Callie, correct? Callie Kwan?
Yes, Callie Kwan.
Within the film prior, she mentioned that you ask a group of dancers to do one movement, and as many dancers as you ask, you get as many interpretations of this movement. And she said it's like Christmas morning. It's opening up a present. She, you know, she took a big risk with this because she choreographed to golden pop hits of the past.
Yeah, so it was as seen on TV, gold CDs that our parents probably all had. Mm-hmm. I came home and John, our boyfriend, was like, my dad had that on repeat in the car all the time. And I was like, I think my mom had it in the car all the time. Just repeat, mm-hmm, of like pop 70s, 60s classics, mm-hmm, or even earlier.
I would say earlier.
Yeah,
like
probably
50s,
earlier.
60s.
Yeah.
I would say with Figments of Song, there was definitely a character element to it. The dancers were clad in 1960s styled. The guys all looked like, who was it? Frankie. The girls all looked like Annette.
Yes. Yeah.
It was great. What was the last?
Last one was another world premiere. Sojourner was just the combination of worlds, of jazz, of blues, of dance and music. The curtain goes up and there is a live band on the stage.
And the audience like just let out a gasp.
Oh.
I think a applause too.
Oh yeah. Incredible.
And as they were playing this jazz piece, I just thought of how hard it must be as a dancer to be able to follow that,
yes,
and get everybody on the same, I mean, you can't even say the same beat because it's so challenging to follow.
Correct.
And with that, it's got to be challenging to play.
Right. And especially when it comes to jazz, right? Jazz is so like movement oriented, mm-hmm, and you're kind of letting the music speak, mm-hmm, for you. And so to then pair that with movement and music, it was great to see how that choreographer was able to, Gregory Dawson, was able to pair those together and create a masterful movement.
Yeah. And as we're sitting there and watching this piece, I remember consciously checking in with myself and just thinking, how lucky are we to live here and to have all of this just so accessible? You know, yeah. It's a gift.
Yeah. They, you know, Ballet X really allows the audience to walk into a space and feel seen and heard, and does do that de-gatekeeping. They really allow the audience to be informed, mm-hmm. and bring them along in the ride with them, and give them the ability to participate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And they take care of their dancers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Christine Cox, the artistic director and president, you know, made sure that the audience knew that these dancers are full-time with them and receive PTO 6 weeks throughout the year. And that's unique in the dance world.
Yeah, that's better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Christine coming on stage at the beginning of every production, she kind of opens herself up to people coming up to her after the production. She's out there. She's in the lobby. And we saw her speak to everyone who wanted to come up and say hello, which you don't get that.
Right.
So naturally, we said hello.
Yes.
Naturally, we were in that line. We were able to speak to both Christine Cox as well as Keelan Whitmore.
Yes.
And one of our favorites, Eli Alford. Shout out, Eli.
Shout out to Eli. Amazing dancer.
He's great.
Yes.
All right. So let's get to the conversation.
Everyone. Today we have Da Vinci Art Alliance with us. The mission of Da Vinci Art Alliance is an intergenerational community space and art gallery that supports and connects people through equitable opportunities and free creative programming. Samantha, Sam, welcome.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes. So, Sam, tell us a little bit about Da Vinci Art Alliance and kind of their origin story.
So we were founded in 1931 by 16 Italian immigrants at a time where a lot of immigrants weren't really allowed in institutional spaces. So that's where a lot of South Philly private clubs were founded from, was this, what is the word I'm looking for? It was founded in order to bring people together in safe community spaces.
Wow.
So over time, we're almost at our 100th year anniversary. This year we're in our 94th anniversary. We've existed in a lot of different ways. So originally it was all men. It was craftspeople. A lot of our founders owned frame shops, violin makers, cabinet makers, furniture makers that also had an art practice at night. And they came together in their homes and had picnics with their whole families and just created this space where they could collaborate with each other and learn from each other, and then also taught lessons. A lot of our founders also taught at Fleischer Art Memorial, who's our neighbor across the street.
Nice.
And in 1966, they bought our building at 704 Catherine Street in order to have that like grounded space with the intention of always being cousins with Fleischer. So since then, we have existed in a lot of different ways. Right now, we exist as an artist collaborative that is focused around using art as a tool for creative resilience.
Excellent. Excellent.
Timely.
Right? So great. So great. I mean, starting with immigrants, creating a space, always being that center of community, and then continuing to pull that through almost for 100 years. Like that's incredible. And continuing to build on that. What do you see Da Vinci Art Alliance doing for artists today?
So I joined as a member in 2017 because at the time I didn't really have an art community. I had graduated in 2014 and had a studio space up in Kensington, but none of the other people in our space really interacted with each other. So I was hanging out down in South Philly, like working a retail job, hanging out with a lot of other people who are working retail or like service jobs, just like playing pool and drinking all night.
Yeah.
And in 2017, I got in sober and was really seeking out a space where I could find other creative people to talk. Not that service workers are not creative, because
right.
a lot of us are.
Oh, yeah.
Most of us are.
Yeah.
But like people who were really seeking out that type of space in order to have conversations around what was going on in the world at the time and how we were processing that through art. So I joined because my friend Niall had a hip-hop release party at the space and curated a show around that. And I didn't know who Da Vinci was until I went to that event and joined on a whim, thinking that it was going to be just, like, for one show and then I would leave. And then I kept diving further and further in until now I'm the executive director. And I think that that's... The reason I'm saying this whole story is because I think that's a shared story with a lot of us, is that we all kind of gravitate to this space for completely different reasons, but all seeking out that sense of home.
Yeah.
And that is really the grounding point for most of the artists that we work with when we ask them, like, what Da Vinci means to them is that sense of community, that sense of home, is a safe space. I know this term safe space is overused in the last couple of years, but, like, it really is that
you
for a
it.
Lot of people.
Yeah.
Where, like, we can be wholly ourselves and have these difficult conversations around what's going on in the world right now, be able to teach people different skills, be able to have just, like, a space for gathering that isn't also entrenched with, like, spending money or, like, needing to fit into, like, a certain niche.
Right. Hmm. That's incredible. Incredible. What programming do you have at Da Vinci Art Alliance?
So it's all over the place. We are an intergenerational space. So we create programming for all ages and also really believe in intergenerational learning. So we try to position in a way where youth can learn from elders and elders can learn from youth and all of the in-betweens between those two things. So we have programs that are specifically for those impacted communities. Like, we have educational programs where we work with K-12 youth within schools, but also, like, our own summer camps or, like, in partnership with other spaces, as well as senior memory care workshops and exhibitions at senior care facilities. And we're hoping to expand into working with recreation centers that have direct programs for elders in the next year or two.
Excellent.
But then our normal everyday programming is typically we run about 100 programs every year.
Wow.
All of them are free. Hopefully people will throw us some cash to help us run these programs. But everything starts out at zero because we want people to be able to access everything that we do, no matter where they're coming from. So that's very expansive. We have professional development workshops for artists and creatives. We have workshops more focused on skill building. So that's mosaic workshops, frame building workshops, how to hang a show, how to curate a show, painting workshops. Like, we really try to also hone it in on the exhibitions that are up at the time.
Right.
So all of our artists are challenged to create public programming associated with their exhibitions. So we have... pretty much every month, something different.
Wow.
And then we also do just kind of like pop-up neighborhood events. So a lot of cultural festivals. We have one coming up in May with South Street we're really excited about. But then we also do like a coffee club every third Saturday of the month that anyone can come and get a free cup of coffee or tea, that we also try to do like pop-up events with.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we have coffee club and then kind of a million things. We really try to be flexible for what's going on in the world right now. So last year we had, back in March, we had one of our professional development workshops. The intent, I think at the time, was like how to write a CV or something. But with what was going on in the world at the time, we shifted that to talking about art within, or politics within art.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And had Layla Delicious, who had recently been barred from performing at, I believe, Taboo, because of her political, well, she's Palestinian, and her show is inherently political, but also overtly political. And Romana Lee Akiyama and Kara Mashinda all speaking about their work within doing politics as well as art making and like the merging between those things.
Wow. And look, you're giving artists opportunities to learn more about the institutions and more about the community, but not only working within their art space, but how to work around the community with their art space too. It's incredible work. How about the new exhibits that you have coming up in March?
Yeah. So we are very excited for our March exhibitions. They're opening up on March 1st with a reception from 4 to 7 p.m. So we have three gallery spaces within Da Vinci Art Alliance. And on the first floor, we'll have the Female Gaze Up, which is curated by Sarah Bloom and juried by Chelsea Luster and Lauren Renati. And that exhibition is going to be self-portraits from female artists that is challenging the traditional representation of women in art. So thinking through normally a lot of portraiture of women that you see within like the Philadelphia Museum or like really any larger art institution with historic work is looked at from the male perspective with like the woman sitting there being painted or being right. photographed. So this is a series, right? Shouldn't say series. This is an exhibition featuring all self-portraiture from around the country by women looking more at themselves and the power dynamic at play within like looking at yourself versus like someone else's.
Wow, perspective what an incredible perspective.
Yeah. and then on our second floor, we'll have Natural Emotions, which is a solo exhibition by Carlos Gil. So Carlos is a Venezuelan artist who's been living in America since the 90s after traveling through Europe when he was younger. And it is all photographs and collages that is documenting nature to capture the beauty of the natural world and the contours threatened by climate change and man-made destruction of our environment.
Wow.
And then on our third floor, we have Soft Palette by Ash G, which is an interactive space that will be exploring softness as a form of self-care and resistance. So that one you have to experience.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pop-up, so it's only open for that weekend. So if you don't get there that weekend,
That's the first weekend in March. Okay, good to know. I mean, I'm seeing a theme as well because, you know, a lot of the conversations that we've been having have, especially a couple weeks ago, we had the Museum of...
Museum for Art and Wood.
For Art and Wood. Yeah. And they were using reclaimed wood and, you know, really reflecting art and the environment and climate change. And so the thread is coming through in these conversations.
Absolutely.
Which is great. It's amazing to see. So, Sam, we have some rapid-fire questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Lay it on me.
Could you describe the Philly art scene in one word?
Ooh.
Is that the word?
Challenging.
If you could have any piece of art in your home, what would it be?
Andrew Wyeth Groundhog Day, ooh. Which I want to steal from the PMA.
Very nice.
If I was Catwoman, I would steal that.
Talk us through it.
I was going to say Ocean's 21.
Yes.
For anyone listening right now, I'm showing Robert a photo of it. So.
Oh, very nice. So we have a lovely white tablecloth, a dining room setting that looks outside of a pane glass window. It's a beautiful piece.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful piece.
Yeah, there's something about, I think when I was younger, I thought his work was so boring.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, you know, that like age of like having growing older, yep. you become more wise.
Yes.
I feel like it's one of those paintings that like I really can just stare at for yeah. like an hour.
Yeah.
Because I think there's so much like craft within it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also I think is a good reminder of what life is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Of just like that sense of not just solitude, but like sense of groundedness.
Yeah.
And being present where you are.
Yeah.
That I think within our culture today we don't have. Or at least like in the world we are living in.
And
we don't have.
And simplicity.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like there isn't a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In there as well, and clutter.
Yeah. And I think it's also, like, in the background, there is stuff that is, like, reminiscent of, like, industry mm-hmm. or, like, people taking action. But it's still, like, you're coming in from that I don't think, at least I don't carry a sense of that yeah. often because I'm just, like,
yep.
moving back and forth, doing a million things all the time. So, yeah.
Excellent.
And to those who are listening, just to give you some context, Groundhog Day was completed in 1959. So that kind of gives you a little perspective
nice.
To that simplicity that you're wow. talking to.
Yeah. Current artist people are sleeping on?
I need to be biased for this question.
Not a problem.
Because I'm dating an artist and all my friends are artists. So I'm going to say Colin Pisano.
Nice.
Because that is my partner. And to say anyone else feels like I will get punched. So not by him. I mean, all my, we have a wonderful relationship. But Kali is... I genuinely am not just saying that. Colin and I have known each other for, I think, 14 years now.
Wow.
And he was one of my favorite artists before we dated. I just think he's spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, the way that he looks at the world is so unique. And he's a woodworker.
Excellent.
He went to UArts, RIP. And the craftsmanship and... how he brings in so many different narratives and different art forms into woodworking is just spectacular. And going back to the Museum for Art and Wood, he does have an event coming up there. But I believe it's in March. So Colin is also a musician, and he has been performing musical scores based on art with his friend Sam. And they are set to do a performance on an undecided date in probably March.
Excellent.
At the Museum for Art and Wood, in correlation with the show that will be up at the time.
Excellent. We'll include that in the show notes.
Final rapid fire question. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, any polar seltzer.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the amazing experiences of Da Vinci Art Alliance. Where can our listeners find you or learn more about Da Vinci Art Alliance?
So we are on pretty much every social media platform if you look for Da Vinci Art Alliance. But also we're located at 704 Catherine Street, right across the street from Fleischer Art Memorial. And we're open Thursdays through Sundays from 11 to 6. I would say the best place to find us is our website, www.DaVinciArtAlliance.org, or our Instagram, which I think is also Da Vinci Art Alliance. Excellent. If you look us up, you'll find us.
Perfect. Thanks for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Getting into this weekend.
Oh, we have a good weekend. We have a great weekend. We have an amazing party on Friday. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Gallery Groove.
Yes. So for those who listened to the podcast last week with Katie from the Museum for Art and Wood, you might remember that she talked about Gallery Groove happening this Friday, the 21st, from 8 to 11:30. At the Museum for Art and Wood. That's at 141 North 3rd Street in Old City. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So remember, this is going to be in between two exhibitions. So they are having a closure of one exhibition, and they are going to open a new one in the coming weeks. And so they have a very unique period where they have a large space opening for a party to throw for their members and friends. So you can grab tickets still.
Yes. A single ticket, $50. Ticket for two, $75. What else do we have?
We also have some partner programming at the People's Gallery.
Oh, yeah. People's Gallery Project. And there's going to be a marbling class earlier Friday evening. So you could technically do both the marbling class and roll straight into Gallery Groove. The marbling class goes from 6:30 to 8:30 at the People's Gallery Project. That's at 11th and Pine. And it's free. The link is in the show notes.
Excellent. And as it's Black History Month, the PMA has guided tours of The Time Is Always Now, Artists Reframe the Black Figure. I believe there are additional Black History Month art exhibitions throughout the city this month as well that we can still check out. And as always, Philly has art.
And art! Testing, testing. Hey, Robert, how was your weekend?
Testing, testing. Lucinda, it was great. We had an amazing time.
Oh, good. And then give green. Give green a go.
Green, 1, 2, 3, testing. We went to Ballet X.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Hell yeah.